When you approach, one is a student, automatically is a teacher. Perhaps is all my VT training contamination or whatever. But again, I don't know exactly how to formulate it, but it's just something that it makes me relaxed. Because definitely, it's like learning, it's a dynamic, and then conveying that learning is a different dynamic. So how does it work?
It's like this, is that you learned through the VTE, but you didn't, when you were in first grade, learn according to that. You know what I'm saying?
What did I learn through the VTE?
Means in the VTE, they made you aware of the process of transference of knowledge.
Some process, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. But I'm saying they make you aware of that there is a method to give knowledge.
Okay.
But the inverse of that is there's a method how you gain the knowledge, which is the other side of the same thing.
You receive and assimilate the knowledge.
Yeah, but so how you give it is the same thing. It's just the two sides of the same thing. So if from the beginning the science of how to understand things was given to you from the first grade, then as you grow up and you start, you know, helping others that are below you, by the time you finish how much of your studies, you're already a teacher.
Oh, in the sense that you've been practicing the methods throughout.
Of course. But I'm saying the modern academy doesn't do that. You don't teach until you've done a teacher's course there. Sometimes they do have a little system of tutoring, but that's generally it's postgraduates tutor undergraduates.
You were talking about the tutorship, the approach.
Yeah, that, but also that you understand the principles of knowledge. They don't give you principles of knowledge in the modern academy. You only study that generally in postgraduate. The modern academy generally teaches you skills, knowledge and skills, but the actual underlying principles on which it functions may be mentioned, but they're not made prominent, because it's kind of considered very theoretical, so it's more intellectual. So that's reserved more for someone who you would say is an academic by choice.
And I mean, such as what principles of knowledge, like just a little more of practical. What principle of knowledge will be communicated early in the Vedic?
The whole thing, like sambandhavide and prayojana. So, and then seeing how that would apply in whatever they're doing, you know, because in your study, then you have any topic, it has its elements, someone that has its purposes of each element. By combining those, you can get a certain result. So therefore, if you want that result, then you operate it. So understanding the field, all the things of the field, what you can get out of the field, but that, it's not speculative, it's coming down from authority. The modern does that to some degree, but it's not given as shoved up. It's just given as, this is what's happening now. Because you see, it's a common thing in the science books. Before we used to think like this, but now we know. And 10 years after, they'll say that about the last book. So it's, there are similarities, but what we're meaning is the emphasis in the Vedic and the modern academy is different. The body of knowledge is much the same, because it's knowledge. You're dealing with knowledge. You're dealing with language. But the approach is different. You know what I'm saying? The approach to what it is they want to get. They want kids to know something that they can be part of the system. They're not actually trying to make them into academics. It would be, This is a example. You have somebody, let's say they go to school, then they go to their teacher's training course, and they specialize in primary education or secondary or tertiary. And then they go on to do that. And let's say in their primary, then they deal with the kids for 6-8 years. Then they'll hand them over to the secondary teacher, who will therefore deal with 4 to 6 years, depending on what it is. Then they'll go to the undergraduate, where they'll do, 3 to 5 years, like this. And those teachers know how to teach those things. And they need that much time. Right? Means the primary teacher needs 8 years to teach the primary education. Now, if you took someone who is a PhD in that subject and told them, we're going to give you some first graders and we want you to teach them, let's say he's a physicist. So math is his field. And you told them, okay, we're going to give you some first graders. We want you to teach them math. I guarantee you it wouldn't take them 10 years to do it.
How's the time to do it?
It'll make it in 10 years.
No, I'm saying the modern academy, math is for 10 years.
Oh,
like that.
Doing less, you mean?
Yeah, because he will try to get right down to essence.
I just made a list of stuff.
Right? Because professors don't teach primary and secondary education, generally. There are some schools that do, but generally those schools excel over all other schools. You know what I'm saying? The person who teaches in primary and secondary is only a graduate. Right? They're not a postgraduate. Professors teach undergraduates or graduates. You know what I'm saying? So that's why only in the undergraduate do you even start to hear about what actually is academic think. How an academic means up to that time they don't expect you to think like an academic. They give a little bit of it, but in postgraduate you have to think like an academic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, compared to Vedic.
So Vedic means you have to think like in the Vedic way from the very beginning.
Give me some,
you have to connect everything to Krishna. You have to connect everything to the philosophy. It has to be according to the standards given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
So you're saying the approach doesn't change throughout, basically. There's no shift.
There's no shift. So that's the thing, because sometimes things shift.
Rites of passage.
Yeah. There's not, because it's the same. That's why I was saying is that you could take a great sage and you could take a little brahmachari and they would have common things to talk about.
In one sense, Vedic Vaishnava starts from the end. In one
sense, yeah,
Krishna,
that's the point.
And the first day,
yeah,
he's the Supreme Personality.
That's
the Sarasvati thing.
That's all. So even you want to teach modern things, it doesn't matter. Still, you would use the Vedic method. It's much more efficient. So the point is you're giving knowledge, you're giving skills, and you're giving values. But it starts from the values. But you lay those values, they're not one stage after another, they're separate. The knowledge you're given is based on the value you want to gain. The skill that you're given is based on that knowledge, and it will give you that value. So, therefore, in the beginning, when you're giving knowledge, you're giving knowledge of and how that connects to the skill and value. It's not just knowledge on its own. That's what makes the Vedic Academy. If you separate the three, then that's the modern academy. You separate the three so you see how it works, and you understand that there's this, this, this. But the essence of the other two have to be in the first one when you're giving knowledge. Then, when you go to practice it, it's the same thing. And then when you go to, so there's, like you said, no rite of passage. It's just, it's a maturation of what you've already given them, basically, on day one. Yeah, that's all. Because values means realization of it. Skills means you can apply it. Knowledge is the field and everything about the field, but then skills means you can actually practically apply it and realize it, and values means you've realized it. So it's actually the same thing. It's just that it has those natural parts.
And at the same time, there may be some aspects of skills, especially, say, in the technological environment,
mm-hmm.
teaching skills that might have to be learn. I mean, not to use a projector.
But the thing is in the Vedic, if you were being taught how to use a projector to a kid, he would actually have to use the projector.
Because he would teach somebody else.
But he would have to do it himself. And in doing it, he understood how he got it. In other words, how you were given it, you can give it to someone else. Just like, let's say, parenting skills. Basically, how you were brought up is how you're going to deal with your kid. Now, if your parents, in the process of bringing you up, explained why they're doing the things they're doing, then it makes it so much easier for you to understand what you should do for your kid.
Yeah, this book's getting better.
Right? So it's the same thing, is that the tutor aspect is there, but also even in just well-taught. I've even seen kids that have gone through and they've just been in classes, just been hearing and practically doing. And they many times think they don't know much. We've had students, you know, I mean, before, all those boys that were there before, you know, Gopa Vrindapal and Mataresh and all those boys, they would just basically be hearing, you know, and, you know, doing some practice and this and that, but they would just be hearing. And they thought they didn't know anything. Really, they were thinking, oh, I don't know, because they didn't have a degree or they didn't have something that showed there was some, you know, something there. But then when they left the school and they went out of the school, when they would give a class or they'd be reluctant because they don't know anything, then when people asked questions, there wasn't a question that anybody asked that couldn't answer. It was only then that they realized what they knew. I've had all these boys say that.
I'm sure.
Is that I always thought I knew nothing, but then when I got out there, I found I knew more than anybody else.
And what's the, if I can ask, what's the approach, if any, the Vedic teaching, adult education, because that's most of the area I deal with?
There, it's same as kids, but. How you say? The skills, you can move through the skills much quicker. The fundamental things, you know, all the building blocks, generally the adults, because they have kind of gone through learning process, they can learn quite quickly. Let's say, like, they've already learned a language, so if you want to teach them, you know, Sanskrit or English, it's quicker because you already have a concept of what's going on. They already know what a noun and a verb is and things like that. So you don't have generally as much the conceptual thing of it, they catch,
there's something there,
can catch generally quite easily. It's harder for them to apply because of their ego, their habits and their ego. The memorization part, that's tough. So generally you want to keep it to the knowledge that they need, the skill, and then practical application. By repetition, by habit, that's how they're going to learn it. The kids can learn it by just memory, by rote. You give them something, they have a great memory, they just know it. So below 12, basically you emphasize more just memorizing things and getting, knowing all the definitions and how everything kind of relates. Then when they hit adolescence, that's when they emphasize skills. And then when they hit 16, then you start to emphasize concepts. You know, the deep technical points of the concepts.
So first, up to 12, it's, you said...
It's memory.
Memory,
yeah.
Then
it's practical skills. Then after that, then it's more like the philosophical, conceptual. Though concept and skills can be given down, but it's like you keep it very fundamental. But as they get, but the 16-year-old can take the fundamental and start to apply, you know, how the modes of nature are going everywhere. The little kids know the three modes of nature are there and how they basically work. But the adult, then they can understand how it applies in everything that I'm doing. Like that. So that's the Vedic emphasis. So all those three are parts of adult education. It means there's a body of knowledge to be learned. There's skills to be practiced, and there is, you know, the basic, you know, the whole philosophy and how the whole thing holds together. So in the Vedic, there is no such thing as children's education. It's only adult education. But there's elements that the kids can understand. So those are given to the kids at that age. So it looks like it's for kids, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
So the adults, then those three can be mixed together. You know?
Those three can memorize.
Yeah. Yeah, so you give them something to memorize, but because memory is more difficult for the adult because he's distracted, because he has so many responsibilities and things and plans and his time. And
so you're saying by repetition.
By repetition. In other words, you give them let's say you need them to learn vocabulary and some definitions. So the kids, you would run them through that and have tests on that and keep reviewing that and everything like that until they know it very well. The adult, generally, you would give it to them, review it to make sure everyone understands it, and then move on to the application of those in the skills. Start giving the skill and then how they would use it. Then by repetition that comes up by practical use, then they like that. They feel it's moving forward, it's progressing. But if you won't move forward into the skill until they've memorized the things really well, they might at the time lose interest. They don't feel it's moving fast enough for them.
The kids.
No, the adults.
Also, sorry. So the if you move into the skills without them having understood the...
You get them to... They understand it, but they may don't remember it. So you may, even in the skills section, have to completely remind the adult of what it was. But because it's practical on the job, it sticks better. Like that. You can do that with the kids also, if there's opportunity, like cooking and that. You know, you don't really have much of a class. You know, you just tell them a few things, and you just go in the kitchen and show them again and again and again, and they pick up the vocabulary and everything. So adults work a little bit better. They like more that kind of workshop kind of things like that. Kids are happy to just sit there and be told what to do, and they don't even need to know why. They only start asking why when they hit like 12, 13. Like that. You know, it's like you can tell a same Mahabharata stories every, you know, many times a year for year after year for the little kids. And once you hit 12, it's like, I've already heard that. Let's only hear a new story. Or up to 12, you can teach them any mantras and this and that, and they're happy to learn it. But at 12, they ask, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? So there's just a difference. So the adult wants to know why it is, what it's for, what it's going to do for me. In other words, the result, the values already have to be given that. But this knowledge is going to give you this result, so these values will be practiced. These values will do this for you. But to do that, you need these skills. You know? So it's kind of like you have to use more of the mind on them. You just go... In other words, your practical application is going to be knowledge, values, skills. That's actually how you adults
knowledge,
values, skills. Then once they're convinced of that, then you go back and then teach them what knowledge they need to get to that much skill so that they can then practice it. And then you just, in other words, you give a little knowledge, skill like this. While kids, you can't just give the whole body of knowledge. Then you give all the skills, and then you give. Get into all the metaphysics and stuff like that.
You can.
But you can also mix that, and it works very well also. But I'm just saying, let's say you have, you know, thousands of shlokas to learn rather than learn 10 here and then the skill like that. You can just teach the kids all 2,000 verses and they're happy. And then when they hit older, then they learn, you know, and they learn the Sanskrit and this and that. And when they're older, then it's just a matter of how they're going to apply that. So you can do that with the kids. You know, if the teachers like that subject, they can do that. You know, it means the teacher likes Sanskrit, it's what he does. He can teach Sanskrit in that way to the kids.
In that way, means,
just breaking up, you know, just do all the memorization, and after they memorize it, then teach them, you know, the grammar, and then after that, then teach them how to, you know, translate and use it and stuff like that. If the teacher likes it. If not, then you have to do the same as adults. You know, give them a little, you know, a few words and a little bit of the grammar and do this and make it interesting and they can make a sentence and, you know, and little things like that. And, you know, so they, but the problem is in doing that, they don't necessarily get the whole picture because they don't actually have everything to deal with at once.
But
it works, or any combination of these two. You know, in other words, breaking it up that it's in modules like that, or taking it, you know, within each thing, and or a mix. It doesn't matter. You know, like Krishna tells Uddhava, you can worship the deity either using Vedic methods, Pancharatric methods, Vedic, Tantric, or a mix. So the mix is Pancharatric. So, you know, like that. Because even you're saying you're only doing one, you will have to do some of the other anyway. You know, it's not purely the one, because you're doing, there will be some practical things there, some skills in the beginning. Because you want them to write, but to do that, they have to be able to make a sentence. You know, but making a sentence isn't really writing. Writing is being able to present their thing through, you know, more sentences into paragraphs, and that possibly into chapters, and, you know, stuff like that. So when they could, you know, write something big, you can say they're a writer. But, you know, it's still a skill to be able to write a sentence. You know, so you're giving that at that time, but it's still, the main thing is that they're learning all the elements. So making a sentence, punctuation, you know, concept, paragraph, how to give a thought, how to understand something, how to express that. These are all still your elements. Though the element itself may be a combination of smaller elements, so therefore there is some skill involved. But the real skill will be, okay, here are the methods of expressing your point. So you can use the sentences in this way, you can use the vocabulary in this way, you can use your grammar in this way, and these are all different techniques of which you can get across your point. So that's actually the skill that you're trying to get to, you know. And then that'll be based on your values of the importance of communication. So you value communicating through the written word. So therefore, writing skill is important to you. Therefore, you want to know the skills. Therefore, you want to know the elements that the skill is made of, composed of. Is that right? Okay.
Those four steps of education according to Vedic, that was that manana, that manana,
yeah, yeah.
Was that shavana?
Manana, nididhyasana. The fourth one, I don't remember the name, it's in Varaha Purana, Prabhupada gives it, but it means to teach.
So, okay. Shavana to receive, to listen.
Yeah, yeah, like
manana
that.
Manana to think about it.
To think and practice.
And practice.
The two have to go together.
So to experience it.
Yeah, you have to experience it.
And the manana is on the mind. It's, you have to have something.
Yeah, it means the mind, the intellect. Yeah, it means, in other words, you're intellectualizing on it, and you're removing any doubts or misgivings you have about it.
And then nididhyasana would stand for?
That's realization. That means where that knowledge and skill is part of your life.
And how do you translate nididhyasana?
Nididhyasana means that it's, I think it means it's fixed. Your means, I think asana means that you're situated in.
No, I was just thinking assimilation.
Assimilated.
It's just part of you.
Yeah, it means, in other words, nididhyasana would be what you would do when no one's around. Your character and all. That's why. That's why, with that, with in the Vedic, is that there must be so much activities that develop character. That's why all the menial service. It doesn't make sense to the academic why they're doing so much time work, because that time could be used for study. But the whole point of knowledge is to get to nididhyasana, and that requires character. So simultaneously with the knowledge, there must be these practices that develop character. Then they'll be able to transform their skill into realization. And when the heart is purified, there's actually a desire to know. So by the menial service, they are able to be inspired to actually learn the knowledge. By the menial service, then they are willing to apply it, and by the menial service, they'll have the character to actually realize it. So that's why in the Brahmacharya, Prabhupada always emphasizes the menial service. That means Brahmacharya, because just studying knowledge doesn't really make a Brahmacharya, because Brahmacharya means one who knows Brahman. So it has to be as he's doing that, and along with that, then he studies his knowledge. That's why it takes, they give 12 years to study a Veda. Inspiration to learn. You have Tadvidi, Pranipatena, Pariprasnena, Sevaya. Pranipata means the desire to know. If there's desire to know, then Pari Prashna, you will inquire, and then you'll get that knowledge and you will get the practices. Then Sevaya means you will actually use it. So you'll use it, meaning in manana, but you'll also use it because it's part of your life, in nididhyasana. From the service, that creates more purity of heart, so therefore there's more you want to know, you can learn. So therefore it goes back and it nourishes the pranipata.
How does it work, this connection with the menial service and desire to know?
Because it purifies the heart, and only when the heart is purified can you absorb knowledge.
Has to be like devotional service or service to the guru.
I can be, yeah, service to guru. So even that's why the karmi, by serving his guru, then is able to excel in his areas of mundane knowledge. Like that. But if he doesn't have a service attitude, then he becomes proud. And so then once you become proud, you can't learn anymore. So the idea is that one, you know, the more you know, the more you understand that there is to know. So you never become proud of what you know.
Thank you, Maharaj.